Wednesday, November 15th, 2017. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, sports writer from Denver, Colorado. You know we bring you a new sports podcast every single week. We try to keep things light. We try to make fun of pretty much everyone in sports because, well, they're funny. I know a lot of people don't look at the lighter side of sports, but sometimes sports are pretty funny. We do try to bring a common sense approach to the world of sports that I think is needed. There's a lot of shows out there that don't look at the common sense side. They don't even look at it from the side of how things actually work. We try to look at it from the perspective, what teams are really trying to do, what coaches are really trying to do, and what the coach is asking the players to do. Now, there are a couple of ways that you can participate in the show. You can go check out new articles. You can go get a link to the podcast every single week if you just go to dailydosesports.wordpress.com. In fact, this week, we were able to break some news regarding Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones. Some news that a lot of the media outlets don't have. He's got some plans that you might not be aware of. Might want to head over to dailydosesports.wordpress.com and check that out. But maybe you've got a question, a comment, you need some advice. Maybe you have something you would like to bring to the show. We'd love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com. That is DALYDOSE, dailydosesports@gmail.com. Or please find us over on Twitter or Facebook. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. We would love to interact with you over on Twitter or Facebook. Today on the show, we have our 2017-2018 NBA preview. Yes, I know that the season's already underway. What are we, 12, 15 games in, something like that? But we have a lot of questions about what to expect in the season that is still coming. Yes, we know who the favorites are. No question about that. Everyone knows who the favorites are. People who don't follow basketball know who the favorites are in the NBA. But there are already some very interesting things going on in pro basketball. Plus, college football had some major surprises this past weekend. We want to touch on those and what exactly they mean for the college football playoff. Because the college football scenario does look very different now. The NFL had a weird week. Want to discuss exactly what's going on in the NFL. NFL's in kind of a weird spot right now. Have to be sure that we discuss that. And of course, you have to be sure to stick around for our Daily Dose Top 5, a staple of the show, a very popular segment of the show. If I hear anything from listeners, it is usually about the Daily Dose Top 5. Maybe they agree, maybe they disagree, maybe they really liked it. Maybe they think I'm an idiot, whatever. Either way, you have to make sure that you stick around for the Daily Dose Top 5. Now, I told you last week that here at the Daily Dose, we have an announcement. It is a big announcement. I mean, it is a huge announcement, and I need everyone to hear this. Don't say that you didn't know, because this is a big, big announcement concerning the Daily Dose.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
You know, we started this podcast 3 years ago in December. Early December, it'll be 3 years ago that we started this podcast. It had been a radio show here in Denver. We decided to change it into a podcast. And then we went about trying to create a unique show every single week. Now, because we are a weekly show, we can take some different angles each week. We can look at things that we have learned. We can discuss winners and losers. We can do preview shows like we're doing today. We can have season end awards shows. And of course, we can do our Daily Dose Top 5s. But the show here, the Daily Dose, has evolved from where it originally started. It sounds different. It's actually created in a much different way than it was, so it's no wonder that it sounds different. We have managed to get some loyal listeners, and I'm proud of what we have done here on the Daily Dose Sports Podcast. Having said that, the weekly format does bring some drawbacks to it. You know, we can't talk about breaking news unless it just happens to coincide with when we're recording the show. We have to try to create, I guess, more of a timeless kind of show in a way, because we have to recap a full week. And in that time, you've already heard everyone talk about these different sports stories that are coming out. Yes, we do our best to bring you a common sense approach, but sometimes it does feel like we're talking about old news. I know last week we talked about the World Series, and again, we're going to try to talk about a different angle or take a different take than most of the other sports media outlets, but at the same time, It does feel like we're talking about news that happened 6 days ago or 5 days ago. Sometimes by the time we're hitting a subject, you're already sick to death of hearing about it. And to be completely honest, I'm already sick of talking about it too. I don't want to discuss it either. So, with all of this in mind, we do have a major announcement. And I'm a little bit hesitant to do this. I have struggled with this. I've kind of gone back and forth on this. But here is our big announcement.
But this is beyond news. This is like Pearl Harbor, the Kennedy assassination.
Beginning in December, I believe our first show will be December 4th. That Monday, December 4th, we will be bringing you a daily dose of the Daily Dose.
What?
Yes, we will be posting a brand new 30-minute episode every single weekday. You know, that allows us to hit every top story, as well as still bring you those different angles that you're accustomed to hearing here on the show. It also allows you to listen to a full episode every morning on your way to work, because we'll be posting a new episode every morning by probably 6 a.m. Mountain Standard Time. Or you can listen every evening on your way home from work. Or you can listen at work. Or you can listen at home. Or you can listen while you're working out. But we will be bringing you a brand new 30-minute episode every single weekday. Now, I've run this by a few of the people who do contribute to the show. Told you before, there are a number of people around me that kind of contribute to the show. Give me their ideas. Give me their thoughts. And I kind of ran this by them. And to a person, here is what they all said. They all said the same thing. The Daily Show has some major appeal. Being able to hit timely topics as they come out. Obviously, that has some appeal. As long as we don't lose what it is that we currently have. Taking some different angles, doing some different things. So the question that was posed to me, what's going to change? What is going to change about the show? Honestly, not that much. We'll be bringing you new content every single day in a half-hour format. So we can cover breaking stories. We can give our own unique spin on those. We will still do the kind of segments that we do now. We will still have some of our regular guests stop by. We'll still be out working trying to get more guests to stop by. And we will still be doing a weekly Daily Dose Top 5 every single Friday. Now, what is going to change is that the show will sound a little different. It's going to sound more like a live show because it's almost going to be a live show. But other than that, it really won't change all that much. Now, we are working to add a few other very cool things coming up in 2018 that I'm telling you right now, they're really going to give us a different feel. Some very exciting stuff that we're working on. You're just going to have to trust me on that. But I don't want to overpromise and underdeliver. We're trying to work out some bugs. We're trying to get all the I's dotted and the T's crossed. But just know that we are working on some other things to make your Daily Dose experience even better. Okay, so what's the catch? We're going to be bringing you 5 shows a week. Yes, it's going to be a half-hour show, but we're going to be bringing you 2.5 hours of content every single week. So what's the catch? You knew there was going to be a catch, right? We're going to be bringing you 5 shows every single week starting in December, but here is the catch. Here's where the other shoe drops. Here is what I need from you, Daily Dose listener. Please, please, please listen to the show. Subscribe to the show wherever, anywhere, iTunes, Podcast Republic, Stitcher, Blog Talk Radio, wherever. Wherever you listen, if you subscribe, if you hit that subscribe button, every single morning, you just hit refresh and the new show will pop up. It's already there for you. All you got to do is download and listen. You're done. Also, please, please, please give us a review on any of the sites that you might listen on and tell some people, hey, there's a sports podcast you got to check out. It comes out every single morning around 6 a.m. Mountain Standard Time. You got to go check out the Daily Dose. We need you Daily Dose listeners. More than ever. If we're going to do this and we're going to be having a daily show, we need you more than ever. In a 30-minute show, I am not going to have the time to beg you all to subscribe and share every week. So I'm telling you ahead of time, please, I'm begging you, listen, subscribe, and share the Daily Dose. I've told you since we started the show, the bigger the dose gets, the better it's going to get. We are looking forward to changing the Daily Dose to a daily show. We are looking forward to getting to spend some more time with you each week, oh Daily Dose listener. I'm very excited about it. I truly am. But it's going to be a lot of fun. Just make sure that you don't forget to share, subscribe, and listen to the show when it does change through the Daily Show. I'll give you a few more reminders over the next few weeks, but just to reiterate, December, daily show for the Daily Dose. Okay, let's get on to some actual sports subjects. Once again, we are hearing how the NFL numbers are down. You know, on average, they're saying the NFL ratings are down 5.7% from last year. And I mean, we know last year was down from previous seasons. We know it's been on a steady decline for probably the last 7 or 8 years. I know that we have talked about this before and how there are a number of contributing factors. I know. Everyone says it's the politics and the kneeling and the protest to the kneeling and the protest to the protest of the kneeling. There have been an abundance of injuries to very good players. And there really aren't that many must-see players to begin with. But you know, I'm watching the NFL this last week. I'm watching on Thursday, and then I'm watching the Sunday games. I'm watching the Monday night games. And man, this is just bad football. Really bad football. I mean, when you look at the primetime games, when you look at what we had passed off to us as the big-time games of this week, it's not much to watch. Did you watch the Sunday morning game between the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Los Angeles Chargers? That was horrible. 16 penalties, 4 turnovers, really, really ugly quarterback play. And we can sit here and say, well, yeah, but it was a young quarterback. But it was both Phillip Rivers and Blake Bortles. Hey, Rivers is the one that threw the huge pick that cost him the game, not Bortles. As bad as Blake Bortles was, and he was horrible. Man, that was genuinely a game of who wants it less. Just some bad football. You look at some of the other games that were going on around the league this past week in Week 10. It wasn't just that game. The Sunday night game between the Denver Broncos and the New England Patriots. Horrible game. Bad special teams by Denver. Poor execution by Denver. You look at the New Orleans versus Buffalo game. New Orleans literally did whatever they wanted in that game. Green Bay and Chicago. That old rivalry. That was terrible football. Cleveland and Detroit, bad football. Cincinnati, Tennessee, Pittsburgh, Indianapolis. There were just a lot of bad games this past week. And here's the thing that I want to throw out there. Because we've talked about before on the Dose, how many must-see players are there in the NFL? But let's go one step further than that. Because right now, today, how many must-see teams are there in the NFL? If we were just going through each team that you're sitting there saying, I've got to see this team play right now. Let's see if we can go through. New England Patriots are probably must-see TV. The problem is they're probably overmatched for most of the teams that they face, but they're probably must-see TV. There's one. Buffalo, no, they're not must-see. I know that Raymond will be mad that I say that, but Buffalo's not must-see TV. Miami's not must-see TV. The Jets aren't must-see. Pittsburgh? Is Pittsburgh must-see? The problem with Pittsburgh, they will always play as good as their opponent or as bad as their opponent. We saw that on Sunday again. They nearly lost to Indianapolis. I guess Pittsburgh is must-see. It's not always a good thing with Pittsburgh. I'll put them in there. So that's two. Baltimore is not must-see. Cincinnati, Cleveland, no. The Tennessee Titans, I guess I would have them must-see TV if Marcus Mariota was healthy, but he's never healthy. So I don't know that I can throw them in there. He's always banged up. So I wouldn't put Tennessee in there, no. Jacksonville, definitely not. Houston was must-see when they had Deshaun Watson. They're not anymore. Indy is a really, really bad football team. Okay, Kansas City. Is Kansas City a must-see team? Ugh. Think about this for a minute. And I know what everyone's thinking right now. I know everyone's going, hey, Kansas City is one of the contenders in the NFL, aren't they? Think about this. You're telling me Alex Smith football is must-see TV? Really? That's what we have? I don't know if Kansas City is a must-see team. Oakland Raiders? If you don't like defense and you want to see bad offense, I guess. The Chargers? Once again, the Chargers just find ways to almost win. They lead the league every year in almost winning. Chargers aren't must-see. Denver's terrible. Moving over to the NFC. Philadelphia Eagles, I think, are must-see TV. That's three teams. Are the Dallas Cowboys must-see TV right now? Not without all the starters on that offensive line, they're not. But Dallas is a soap opera. I'm going to put Dallas in there. I'm going to say Dallas is must-see. That's four teams. Four teams. And that's really stretching it for Dallas. Washington, they're entertaining, but they're not must-see TV. The Giants are terrible. Is Minnesota must-see? Minnesota is 7-2. Are you really tuning in to see Case Keenum? And he's doing a good job. I'm not dogging on Keenum. But are you really tuning in? Like, I've got to get home and see Case Keenum and those Minnesota Vikings. I'm not. Matt Stafford with Detroit, they're a little bit musty. He's at least entertaining. Detroit is entertaining. Maybe five teams right now. Green Bay, no, they're awful. Chicago, Trubisky's kind of entertaining, but no. The New Orleans Saints, I will put New Orleans on this list this year. Not usually, but I will put them on this year. The New Orleans Saints are a pretty good football team. I would tune in just to watch Drew Brees in that offense and what New Orleans is doing. Okay, so there's five teams. I don't know about Detroit. Five, six, we're somewhere in there. Carolina, that offense is awful. Atlanta, no. Tampa, no. The Rams, I think the Rams are highly entertaining. That is an entertaining group. I like what Goff is doing. I like watching Gurley. I like watching the Rams. They're entertaining. Yeah, I'll say if the Rams were just on, I might turn on the Rams just to see. So we'll put the Rams on the list. Seattle? Yeah, I think Russell Wilson is highly entertaining. I think what he does. I guess Seattle's so what, we're six, seven teams? Maybe eight teams? Arizona, no. San Francisco, no. Out of all the teams, out of the 32 teams in the NFL, we just went through them. What did we come up with? Eight teams? And here's the problem. They aren't playing each other. And you have bye weeks. And you have those awful Thursday night games. So on a given Sunday or a given weekend, you have what? Maybe one or two games worth watching? Now, you can spin that it's political all you want. You can spin that it's about the kneeling and the protesting and people just aren't watching because of those things and they're all turned off by the NFL and I'm mad about the protest or I'm mad that you didn't sign Kaepernick or I'm mad at this or I'm mad at that. And it is completely cyclical. But right now, the NFL product is simply not very good. It is a bad league right now. You know, we have a generation of quarterbacks that are kind of on their way out. You have the Tom Brady's. You have the Drew Brees. You have the Phillip Rivers, who should apparently already have been gone. We have a group of awful quarterbacks that have been in the league a while. Guys like Joe Flacco and Blake Bortles and Jay Cutler. And then we have a group of solid young players. You have the Carson Wentzes, maybe Jared Goff, maybe Dak Prescott. The NFL is going to get better again as those young players start to come in and start to establish themselves. And hey, every year we know those guys are going to be very, very good. The NFL will get better again, but it is a bad league right now. You have CTE. You have that whole issue. You have the protests. You have the political stuff. You have guys beating up women and commissioners trying to take them to task for it and lawsuits and all this stuff that does turn people off. I understand that. There are some serious issues facing the NFL right now, and don't be surprised if we see some things change as a result of it. Can ESPN afford to keep the NFL? I don't know how. It doesn't sound like they can pay their employees right now. How are they going to put in another big contract out on the NFL? I can't imagine they would let the NFL go, but if you don't have the money, you don't have the money, right? NFL is in a weird spot right now. I don't know that we've ever seen this, but it is a very, very strange NFL right now. Having said that, this next week, we actually do have some decent games coming, and you might not be aware of them. But look at some of the games we have on Thursday night. Tomorrow night, we have Tennessee at Pittsburgh. Is Tennessee good enough? Is Mariota healthy enough? I don't know, but I know Pittsburgh will play to that level anyway. We also have the Los Angeles Rams going to Minnesota. There's two of those teams we talked about possibly being must-see teams. That's a pretty good game on Sunday morning. You have Philadelphia going to Dallas on Sunday night. Again, not sure if Dallas is really in that level, especially missing some people like they are. But it's going to be good to see Philly go on the road. Can they prove that kind of thing on the road? And then the Monday night game next week is not horrible. Atlanta at Seattle. Yes, they're two teams that are probably a shadow of what they used to be. But there's three, four games that might actually be worth watching. It's just interesting right now. Because we know that the NFL has been king for, I would say, years, but decades. Going through a little bit of a hard time right now. It's cyclical. It'll get better, but it's going to take some time to see the NFL improve. Hey, it was another exciting weekend of college football, which is kind of weird because there really weren't that many exciting games in college football, but there were some exciting outcomes. You know, it started on Friday night when Stanford made it even harder for the Pac-12 to have any shot whatsoever at the college football playoff. Stanford knocked off Washington 30-22, and that pretty much is going to eliminate the Pac-12 completely from playoff contention. Washington was the last one-loss team in the Pac-12. You're going to put a two-loss team from the Pac-12 in? The Pac-12 has not been impressive this year. they're out. I don't think that's going to happen unless there is just some major, major chaos. Pac-12 is done. But here's the thing. That was just the beginning, because then on Saturday, we really started to see some chips fall. Number one ranked Georgia did what they do best. They committed dumb penalties. They dropped passes. They turned the ball over. They got dominated up front, and they got blasted by Auburn 40-17. We've talked about Georgia would probably go all Georgia on us at some point this year. Remember when they beat Notre Dame and then they went out on the field and they were dancing and they were acting like they had just won the championship? Yeah, that won't come back and haunt them, right? Of course not. Why don't you go ahead and celebrate like that after you actually win a championship? Georgia went down and went down hard on Saturday. But wait, there's more. The best game of the weekend was Mississippi State giving the Alabama Crimson Tide all they wanted. Alabama had to come from behind very, very late to get a win in Starkville. In fact, here's a clip from ESPN.
Hurts over the middle. It's caught inside the 10-yard line. Broken tackle. Devontae Smith. Touchdown, Bama.
Now, this was the best game of the weekend, at least of the top-rated teams. You know, the injuries to Alabama, and we've seen them take injuries all year, especially that defense. They are not quite as dominant as they have been over the past 3 or 4 years. They have lost a lot of people. And I realize what Bama fans are saying. I realize what a lot of people are saying. Hey, they might have a guy go down, but they've got another 5-star backup that's just going to step right in. It's not the same. That's not how that works. When you're a backup player, you're not used to getting so many reps in practice. Practice can actually wear you out. You're just not used to getting that many reps. You aren't used to the pressure of playing in the games when you do get out there. You haven't been playing in games. You've been coming in maybe in spot duty here or there, or when the game is decided and Bama's up by 35, then you get some playing time. You're not used to starting, and we're seeing these linebackers go down. As a linebacking core, the unit is losing the continuity. Hey, I know what that guy does when he's in the game. I already know what he does. We've been playing together. We've had a lot of reps together in practice. We've had scrimmage time together. I know what he's going to do. New guy coming in, I don't have any idea what he's going to do. Do I need to cover for him? If he says this, is he going to go here? I don't know exactly what he's going to do. So Bama has taken some injuries and some losses. And I realize, yes, they do have talented guys that are going to step in those spots. But Bama has some weaknesses. The only thing I'm not sure about, is there a team out there that is good enough to capitalize on those weaknesses? We're going to see. Alabama does have some flaws within their team. They've got some injuries. They've lost too many people. Wisconsin blew out Iowa, and they held on to their spot as the best chance for the Big Ten to get a team in the playoff. Hey, Wisconsin has to keep winning. They have to keep winning, because the only other team that maybe had a shot was probably Michigan State. What did Michigan State do on Saturday? They got beat 43-8 by Ohio State. Hey, Wisconsin has to keep winning, because if they don't, I don't think the Big Ten's getting in either. Teams are beating each other up. Oklahoma and my boy Baker Mayfield.
You're my boy, Blue!
Blew out TCU on Saturday night. Oklahoma's starting to look like they have a legitimate chance to get to that college football playoff now. I will give you one stumbling block that they could have. They need to hope that they get to see TCU again in that Big 12 championship game. I wouldn't want to see Oklahoma State. I don't know that Oklahoma State's that great. I just don't want to see a rivalry team in that Big 12 championship game. That could be a stumbling block for Oklahoma. And say what you will about Oklahoma State, and they haven't quite lived up to expectations, that offense is very, very dangerous. Oklahoma is in a very good spot right now to get to the college football playoff, just win out. I think they do control their own destiny. And, by the way, my pick to win the Heisman, yeah. Baker Mayfield, he might have won himself the Heisman this last week. He has gotten better as the season has gotten deeper. Remember just a few weeks ago? It was Saquon Barkley this and Saquon Barkley that. Yeah, I don't know about that now. Baker Mayfield looks like he's in the driver's seat for the Heisman. But as big as some of these stories were, they were not the surprise of the weekend. Because the surprise of the weekend went to the Miami Hurricanes. Yes, the U beat the fool at a number 3 Notre Dame on Saturday, which had both the Big 5 conferences and the sports media world all kinds of excited. See, eliminating Notre Dame allows another Big 5 team to get into that playoff. So by getting Notre Dame out of there, hey, Big Ten, maybe. Pac-12, probably not, but maybe. Big 12, yeah, you've got another shot now. The sports media world has been so excited about the win from Miami that the major sports networks were doing their predictions for the college football playoff. And you know what most all of them were saying? You can go back. You can go look at them. Most all of them were saying the same thing. It's going to be Alabama. It's going to be Miami. It's going to be Clemson. And then it's going to be Oklahoma. Maybe. But don't forget, Miami and Clemson are going to meet in the championship game. So one of those teams is going to have a loss. Are you telling me you'd put in one of those teams with the loss? Hey, the ACC hasn't been that dominant this year. They've been good. I don't know if they've been great. If another team wins their championship, you just going with the ACC? Clemson has not looked great down the stretch. I still think they get in, but Clemson has not looked great down the stretch. Everyone got all excited about Miami. The U is back. The U is back. Are they? I mean, you beat Notre Dame, I guess. But we don't know how good Notre Dame was. Notre Dame has not been in that bright of a spotlight for a while. And it looked like that light was a little too bright for him, didn't it? We can get all excited about Miami. Just don't forget one thing. These are 18, 19-year-old kids. If they lost to, like, Virginia next week, it wouldn't surprise me a bit. Now, if you haven't seen Miami play this year, they are a very speedy athletic group. I heard people talking before the game saying, hey, Notre Dame is just as fast as Miami. No, they weren't. Not even close. But Miami does have this thing that they do where if you cause a turnover, you get this big, huge gold chain called the turnover chain when you get back to the sideline. Man, I'm telling you what, I watched that game. Miami caused so many Irish turnovers on Saturday, I think like Jared and Kay Jewelers were considering a sponsorship for the turnover chain. Every pick begins with K. I have no rooting interest in the Miami-Notre Dame game. I could care less. But I'll say this. I am glad to see Notre Dame lay this huge egg now instead of them getting to the playoff and then they do it like they would usually do. We've all seen that one before, right? Let's put Notre Dame in the BCS championship game and then they get blown out 41-3 or something. Yeah, I don't need to see all that. So I'm glad we got it out of the way now at least. Going to be interesting to see what college football does. We've got some really, really big games coming up. I know everybody's wanting more and more playoff games. We're looking at playoff games. They might not be called that, but that's what they are over the next few weeks. Don't be surprised to see some of these teams that everyone's putting into the playoff already take a loss yet. Even to an unranked team, it could still happen because a lot of these teams, they're just kids. They would deal better with failure than with success sometimes. They don't know how to deal with success. College football, wide open, fun season. As we get further and further in the college football season, it is getting more and more interesting every single week. Hey, coming back, we will be bringing you our 2017-2018 Daily Dose NBA preview. There are a number of questions that we have about the upcoming season, and we're going to answer every single one of those questions. Plus, we have an NFL-flavored Daily Dose Top 5 you do not want to miss.
Hey, listeners, this is Cooper Powers from Unquote. I'm really happy to announce that we have a third season of Unquote coming up soon. If you're unfamiliar with the show, here's a look back at some of the great moments we had on seasons 1 and 2. Enjoy.
Oh, boy. Oh, here we go. Oh, jeez. Oh, man.
And then I love that Kevin Bacon scene where he comes out of the shower with the hot girl.
You have no idea what you're talking about, so just sit down and eat your non-Reuben.
Non-Reuben's being added to my lexicon, by the way.
Non-Reuben.
Every sandwich I have now will be a non-Reuben.
Yeah.
Shame with every bite.
A dress shop mannequin that's had peanut butter smeared all over its face.
So join me, Cooper Powers, as part of the Rogue Intel Podcast Network on Blog Talk Radio. We'll get the film rolling soon. See you then.
Dear podcast listener, we accept the fact that we have to sacrifice our Fridays to entertain you, but we think you are crazy to make us do a promo telling you who we think we are. When you listen to our podcast, you think you know who we are, in the simplest terms, in the most convenient definitions. But what we found out is that each one of us is a dork.
I had the basket case,
and I'm a princess,
and I'm a pothead.
Does that answer your question? Sincerely yours, The Prime Podcast. Find out more at theprimepod.com.
Let's go ahead and get to our NBA preview. You know, I've got a ton of questions today for the NBA. We're going to work on tracking down the answers to each one of those questions. Because which teams are getting better? Which teams are getting worse? Can anyone actually knock off the favorites? We know who the favorites are. It's the Golden State Warriors. It's the Cleveland Cavaliers. They've been to the NBA Finals 3 years in a row. But can anyone knock them off? Plus, we'll give you our picks. Got Rookie of the Year. Got Coach of the Year. Got the MVP award. And who is going to be going to the NBA Finals this next spring? There's a few storylines that you should be keeping an eye on this season. One of the biggest ones, how is chemistry going to develop for some of these teams? You know, there are a number of teams that have some new toys to play with. Houston has added Chris Paul, has added PJ Tucker into their mix. Oklahoma City, they picked up Carmelo Anthony and Paul George to team up with Russell Westbrook. Minnesota, they went and got Jimmy Butler. Cleveland swapped Kyrie Irving with Boston, and they got Isaiah Thomas in return. But see, here's the thing. Chemistry is a funny thing. Some teams, they're very, very close, and they play that way. They play like they have each other's backs. Other teams are very, very distant. But when they step on the court, they take care of each other. It makes no difference. Some guys, though, are very me first. It is about me. It is about my stats. If the team does well, that's great. I'm really more concerned about myself. If you don't think this goes on at the highest level, you're kidding yourself. It happens even more so at that level. I will promise you that not all of these offseason moves we saw are going to be beneficial to their teams. But we're going to have to watch, as the season goes, which teams are going to put aside their own selfishness for the good of the team. We'll see. But you know, sometimes these things take time. Sometimes it'll take a while for a team to gel, for a team to say, okay, this is how this is going to work. This is what's going to make us better. Don't expect it to happen all at once. I want to see how chemistry develops for some of these teams. Let's see where some of these teams are after Christmas. As we get into the early spring, that's when things are going to get interesting. You know, speaking of chemistry, I always go back to the same thing we're talking about chemistry. And I know chemistry gets thrown around a lot. But here's one thing to just kind of keep in mind when you're thinking about team chemistry in regard to sports. Do less talented teams ever beat more talented teams? Of course they do. We see it all the time. Why is that? I mean, the team with the most talent should win, right? Well, sometimes the less talented team has to work harder. And so they outwork the more talented team. Sometimes the less talented team executes better. And sometimes they have really good team chemistry. The NBA is going to be fun to watch this year to see how chemistry develops for some of these teams. Another storyline to keep an eye on. What in the world is going on with the officiating this year? If you haven't seen it yet, I promise you, you will. The NBA is going into a dark, bad place with all of these instant replay fouls that they have going. I have seen so far, just so far this year, and again, we're only, what, 14, 15 games in, I've seen Carmelo Anthony, I've seen Steph Curry, and I've seen Russell Westbrook all drive to the basket, draw a foul, finish the shot for the and one play, only to see the refs go review the play. And then they look at the review monitor and see that as the player finished their layup, their offhand accidentally hit the defender in the head, or it hit him in the face. Not only do they not get the and one play, they're called for a flagrant offensive foul. In the case of Carmelo Anthony, he actually got ejected because it was his second flagrant foul. I'm telling you right now, this is not a good look for the league. This is not a good look for basketball. Not only are they not intentional fouls, there's barely any contact. Hey, I totally understand. The NBA is trying to limit guys like James Harden, like Russell Westbrook, from driving in, creating the contact, and then sending them to the line 20 different times a game. I get it. I understand. I truly do. But you are starting to get into a NFL what's a catch rule. You know what I mean? Like if 50 people in a bar see it, and it looks like an and one play, and the ref comes back and says, yeah, actually it's not an and one, and the offensive player is ejected, we don't need this constant instant replay and turning these calls over. It's ludicrous. It's silly. You know, the NBA has always been a little more progressive than some of the other leagues. When you think about the NFL, you think about Major League Baseball, the NBA is always a little more progressive. Sometimes that's good, sometimes that's bad. Sometimes they're too quick to change things, but they're always looking, how can we improve things? They need to make some progress here and stop calling these nonsense fouls. I already have enough questions about the officiating in the NBA. I certainly don't need you going to the replay booth 50 times a game and saying, well, actually, you accidentally stepped on that guy's toe, so you're going to be ejected. That's not basketball. That's not how it works. Other storylines to watch this year in the NBA. Which young teams are going to make progress? Because speaking of progress, there are a number of young, talented teams. They're looking to go from nice young team to contender team. The Philadelphia 76ers, the Milwaukee Bucks, the Denver Nuggets, the Miami Heat, the Minnesota Timberwolves, they're all hoping for a postseason berth, despite how young they are. Which ones will actually make progress? Those teams that learn how to win. And again, it's not always, well, can they hit the big shot? Everybody always talks about that. When you see these trades or you see this free agent movement, everyone always says the same thing. Who's going to take the big shot? You know, the big shot is like a tiny, tiny portion of winning the game. That's one possession. I'm not worried about that. That's the easy stuff. As a coach, I'm not worried about who takes the big shot. You know what I'm worried about? I'm worried about that possession in the second or third quarter when the other team is on like a 14-2 run and you have to stop the bleeding and we really need a stop here and we really need a quality shot at the other end. That is when teams learn how to win games. That is the discipline that you need to go get a tough road win in February, March, April. Those teams are the ones that are going to step up and take that next step to being a big-time contender. The teams that can make those plays, they'll give themselves a chance. The ones that can't, we'll still be talking about them next year. Maybe this is the year. Yeah, probably won't be. Final storyline to look at this year. Can the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Golden State Warriors meet in the NBA Finals for the fourth time in a row? The odds are not in their favor historically. We've never seen the same team meet three times in a row until last year. But getting back for a fourth meeting, that is really, really against the historical odds. But if you look at Vegas right now, Vegas has the Warriors as a 2-3 favorite. Not a 3-2 favorite, a 2-3 favorite. If you bet $300, you can win $200 if they got there. Yeah, they're pretty heavy favorite. The Cavs are a 4-1 favorite to win it all. The next closest team, Houston at 8-1. So historically, the odds are these two teams won't make it again. But Vegas seems to get things right a lot of times. And they're saying Cavs and Warriors. We'll give you our pick here in just a few minutes. Okay, let's go through each division briefly. And we'll take a look at a few questions that I have in each division. We'll start over in the East in the Atlantic division. Question I have, can the Boston Celtics maintain their current pace? Wow, how good is Boston playing? They have gotten off to an incredible start. Like a 12-13 game win streak. Playing really, really well. Can they keep that current pace all year? Yeah, probably not. I mean, I wish we could say otherwise, but probably not. But wow, Kyrie Irving is a very, very talented guy, and he has a very big chip on his shoulder. The one thing that I really like about Boston is you have a player like Al Horford who doesn't mind doing dirty work. We talked about chemistry guys. You watch a guy like Al Horford, the offense runs through him. It rarely runs to him. He's just not that great of a scorer, but it usually runs through him. He doesn't mind setting the screen. He doesn't mind making the pass that sets up the guy. That's a good combination. Really good combination. What is impressing me about Boston so far? They're playing really, really good defense. Do you realize? I know it's early. Boston leads the league in points allowed right now? I don't expect them to be that good all year, but who knew that Kyrie Irving would actually put in any effort at the defensive end? I sure didn't. He's doing it right now, though. So I don't think they can keep that much of the same pace, but I expect Boston to be very good. Can the Toronto Raptors actually win a playoff series this year? Doesn't look good. You know, I start getting nervous when I hear teams say things like, we're going to change up what we're going to do. We're going to try to play faster and play like the Golden State Warriors. Are you? Because I can tell you how that's going to go. We've seen you shoot. It doesn't look anything like the Warriors. Looks more like the Raptors. And that's not a good thing. Toronto shoots about 33% from three-point range. Maybe you shouldn't try to play like the Warriors. Maybe you should start shooting the ball less and actually taking good shots. Because shooting the ball more, I don't think that's going to go well for you. Don't like how the Toronto Raptors are approaching this year. I don't know if they can win a playoff series. I'd say all signs point to probably not. Here's a question in the Atlantic Division out East. Can the New York Knicks or the Philadelphia 76ers contend for a playoff spot? I actually think they can because the East is so awful. Here's the thing. 35 wins might get them in. Kristaps Porzingis playing really well for the Knicks. The Knicks look like a different team this year. Philly is competitive this year. It is possible for the Knicks and or the Sixers to actually make the playoffs in that awful conference. Now, can they keep doing this over the long haul? That's where I start having questions. That's where I would start having doubts and say, well, yeah, they're doing it for the first month, but we're barely, 2 weeks in. I want to see what they can do over those dog days of winter when wins start getting harder to come by. But they can at least compete for a playoff spot just because the East is so bad. Last question for the Atlantic Division. Will the Brooklyn Nets continue to suck? Yes. Yes, they will. Let's move over to the Central Division. Here's a question that I have in the Central. At what point should the Cleveland Cavaliers start to worry? Right? They haven't got off to a good start so far. They're below 500 right now. So when should they actually start worrying? I'd go ahead and say now. They're going to get better. While we have seen Boston actually playing really good defense so far this year, the Cavs have tried something a little different. The Cavs have actually gone the other way so far this year. They're currently allowing 113 points a game. That is third worst in the entire league. They're ahead of Brooklyn and Phoenix in points allowed. They will get better. Tristan Thompson is out with a strained calf. They really miss his inside presence. They really miss his rebounding. Then again, Isaiah Thomas is also still out with that hip injury. So while Tristan Thompson will make them better defensively, yeah, Isaiah Thomas is probably going to make them a little bit worse. So that might be a wash. I don't know. Either way, here's the key. The East is so bad again, Cleveland can make up games quickly. So yes, they do have problems. You probably should start to worry a little bit. But they're not in trouble yet because they play in the East. If they were in the West, I'd be starting to get worried about a playoff spot. In the East, yeah, they're probably still going to get a top five seed. That's just how it works. Another question I have for the Central Division over in the East. Are the Detroit Pistons for real? And my answer might surprise you. I think they might be. Don't get me wrong. They aren't like a contender to win a championship. Nothing like that. But Ron Jeremy is, Stan Van Gundy is pretty good. Stan Van Gundy has put together some decent pieces in Detroit. We know that Andre Drummond can't make free throws, right? So what's he doing this year? Just going out, standing in the post, getting fouled, shooting more and more free throws and missing them all, right? No. He's actually not just sitting in the post. Because Stan Van Gundy has stressed to Andre Drummond, you have to be more active at the offensive end. You've got to screen more and screen more and screen more. As a result, he's getting good scoring opportunities cutting to the basket. And if you don't know this, and you might not, the most open guy on the floor in basketball, usually the guy setting the screen, not the guy getting the screen. It's working for Detroit. And it also looks like he has actually, I know this is going to shock you, he's also worked on his free throw shooting a little bit. Drummond is shooting 64% so far. Hey, that's huge. If he makes one of two, yeah, the Pistons can battle in the East. I think they might be for real. Next question I have, when will the Milwaukee Bucks begin to step up? I'm not sure about that one. Because here's the question that I have in regards to the Bucks. Yes, they have some good young talent. But here is my question. Where do they grow? Like, where do they get better? Giannis Antetokounmpo is an amazing player, but what else do they have? Jabari Parker can't defend anyone. Eric Bledsoe, they just picked up. He needs the ball. Hey, I'm not taking it out of the Greek freak's hand to give it to Eric Bledsoe. Maybe the bottom line for the Bucks is they're really bad at defending the three-point shot, and that's a huge problem in today's NBA. I think they're an above-average team in the East. I'm not sure where you're going to get this growth from. I know we keep hearing about this growth. This is the year for Milwaukee. To do what? With what? They've got the Greek freak. He's a stud. Outside of that, I don't know where they're really going to make that much progress. We'll see how that goes. Let's move down to the Southeast. Are the Orlando Magic actually good? I'm not sure. They're scoring a lot of points. Aaron Gordon looks really good. Coming off of that knee injury, I didn't expect him to be this good. Evan Fournier, Nikola Vucevic, nice role players. I just think the season is eventually going to wear the Orlando Magic out. Enjoy it while you can. I think they're in contention for a playoff spot. Probably about it. Another question I have, what in the world is wrong with the Miami Heat? They have been talked about as maybe being a dark horse in the East. They're off to a really bad start. Hey, Eric Spoelstra, their head coach, really, really good. He draws up some great X's and O's. The Heat have some decent young talent. But here's the question, who are their best players? Probably Hassan Whiteside and Goran Dragic, right? Hassan Whiteside doesn't play very hard. He plays when he feels like it. Dragic can't defend opposing point guards. So when your best players are two guys that can't really do what you need them to do, it's a little bit tough to win a lot of games. I don't have as much faith in Miami as maybe some other people do. Last question I have over in the East. Can the Washington Wizards ever live up to their own words? They always talk about, hey, Cleveland was ducking us last year. They didn't want to see us. Well, yeah, except for then they saw you and beat you. And my answer to this would basically be the only way they can live up to their own words is twofold. When John Wall and Bradley Beal figure out their roles, that will help. Because John Wall is not the shooter. Wall is a scorer. Bradley Beal is the shooter. But when the game is on the line for the Washington Wizards, you watch. It is usually John Wall taking the big shot and missing the big shot. And Bradley Beal is out on the perimeter like, dude, I was open. What happened there? Secondly, this team just can't defend anyone, especially inside. Gortat, big guy, can't defend anyone. So when the Wizards actually start playing defense and they actually start taking smarter shots, yeah, then maybe the Wizards can actually live up to their own hype that they put out there. Let's move over to the Western side. Speaking of teams not living up to their own hype, when are the Minnesota Timberwolves going to live up to their hype? Because the Timberwolves have some talent. Andrew Wiggins, Karl-Anthony Towns, Taj Gibson, and Jeff Teague. Then they went and added Jimmy Butler. But this group isn't going to make any progress until they learn how to play some defense. That's not happening. So you're going to see Minnesota on some nights look very, very good, compete with anyone, even in the West. And you're going to see them some nights not look very good and lose to teams even from the East. Butler and Gibson will do their part defensively. But Anthony Karl Towns, he doesn't know how to play defense yet. And as talented as he is, Andrew Wiggins doesn't even try to play defense. Jeff Teague is really bad at playing defense. They're a hot, up-and-coming team, but they're going to continue to disappoint until they actually buy into a defensive system and start playing hard every possession. That's not happening right now. They're allowing almost 112 points per game. Good luck. If they can figure that stuff out this year, yes, I would give them a chance to at least be a playoff team. They better learn how to play some defense. Another question I have over in the West, what in the world is wrong with the Oklahoma City Thunder? Oklahoma City, off to a slow start. That's surprising to a lot of the experts because a lot of people were saying, hey, Oklahoma City might contend with Golden State. They went and got Carmelo Anthony. They went and got Paul George. Here's the problem for this team right now. Carmelo and Paul George, think about where they came from. Think about what they've been playing in over the past few years. They were each the only threat on their roster, on their former teams. Now, they have other guys on the roster that have to be defended. So Carmelo catches the ball, and he's not smothered. He's not double-teamed. He can get his shot off if he wants. And he's like, this is amazing. I'm not being double-teamed. They're not running help at me right now. I'm open. Yeah, but that doesn't mean you should just shoot the ball every time. Same thing goes for Paul George. I think Oklahoma City will actually start getting better. As the season goes, I think they'll start to figure things out. No, I don't expect them to contend with Golden State, but I think they'll start getting better. I think that's just going to take some time for them to start realizing, just because I'm open every time doesn't mean I should shoot every time. Let's go get a better shot. Another question I have, are the Denver Nuggets actually going to make the playoffs? Can't believe I'm going to say this, but they have a shot. The odds are not in their favor, but they have a shot. I know we've talked about snake-bitten franchises on the Daily Dose before. Hey, the Nuggets are right there. In their entire 33-year history, they've never even been to the finals. That's not great, but this is a good young team, and they're slowly learning how to play hard every night. They're getting better defensively. When you look at this young core they have, Nikola Jokic, Gary Harris, Jamal Murray, those are good young players. You add in Paul Millsap, a veteran that's a little bit tougher, a little bit stronger. He's going to demand you play a little bit of defense. Denver might get into the postseason. I mean, they're going to lose in the first round, but they might get into the postseason. Okay, let's move to the Pacific Division. First question I have out West in the Pacific, can anyone challenge the Golden State Warriors? No, not in a four-game series. You can beat them on a given night, but not in a four-game series. Don't see it. What's wrong with Los Angeles Lakers rookie guard Lonzo Ball? He's been extremely inconsistent. You know, he posted a triple-double on Saturday against Milwaukee. Youngest player in NBA history to do so. But then you'll see Lonzo have nights like Portland where he gets 0 points. Or where he plays Brooklyn and he shoots like 3 for 15. Hey, I like some of what Lonzo Ball does. I like his game. He sees the floor very well. His passing, if you've watched the Lakers this year, his passing is actually contagious to that young team. You'll see other guys like, hey, he's constantly passing. I'm going to make the extra pass too. That's a really good trait for a young team to have. Even though at times, I think people are saying, Lonzo, you need to shoot it. Like he's too unselfish at times. Here's the problem that I'm seeing for young Lonzo Ball. He's not very strong. Like he's not put work in the weight room. We know his dad was probably doing all the coaching and teaching. He apparently didn't get him in the weight room. I know everyone's going to say, well, his problem is he's not a great shooter. We knew he wasn't a great shooter, but watch this. Watch how much Lonzo Ball struggles to finish around the basket. See, that's where I give a guy like Kyrie Irving a ton of credit. He's excellent at finishing around the hoop, and that is due to his strength. See, Lonzo Ball is shooting 29% from three-point range. Okay, we expected that, right? But do you realize he's only shooting 31% inside? He doesn't shoot very often. A lot of time, his shots are coming from right around the basket, but he's not strong enough to finish yet. He's going to have to bulk up and get stronger. The NBA will force him to do that. He won't be able to play at the weight he's at right now. He's just not strong enough. And here's the thing to think about. This might be the best he shoots all year. Because as his body starts wearing down, you might start seeing him get actually less accurate, especially around the basket. Again, he's just not strong enough. As he gets stronger, he'll be a better player. I don't know that he's going to be an all-star type of player. I think Lonzo Ball could be a very, very good starter. I like this Lakers team. They're at least entertaining now. They haven't been entertaining for years. They're not very good yet, but they're at least entertaining now. They got a good young nucleus going there. Let's move down to the Southwest Division, our last division. Is there anyone that can actually push the Warriors? Probably not, but I would probably take the Houston Rockets over anyone. They move the ball. James Harden isn't having to work as hard as he used to get his shots off. I still don't think it'll make a difference, but I would say the Houston Rockets probably have the best chance of actually pushing the Warriors to anything. Maybe fifth, sixth, possibly seventh game. I doubt it. If there's a team out there that could do it, I'd say it would be Houston. You know, the Memphis Grizzlies lost Zach Randolph, but they're actually playing better. Is Memphis a playoff contender? And yeah, I actually think they are because of their defense. Here's the catch, though, with Memphis. They're not going to be very fun to watch. The Grizzlies are tough to score on. They allow just 99 points a game. That offense is rough, though. They can't score very many points. But here's the thing. Memphis is going to win some ugly games, and they can get back in the playoffs. And if they do get any offense, then who knows? Memphis might be, you know, kind of a player out west. But yeah, I think they actually are for real because of their defense. It's ugly. They scrap. They fight. Yeah, the Memphis Grizzlies, they're going to be right there. The San Antonio Spurs, they're finally going to fall apart, right? They lost a lot of people. Really old. They're done, right? No, they're not. Because the San Antonio Spurs are still winning games despite all their losses. Oh, and despite the fact that Kawhi Leonard isn't even playing yet this year because he still has that quad injury. You know, Kawhi Leonard is the most complete player in the NBA today. San Antonio is still winning without him. That could be huge later in the season. Again, when you look back and say, man, if they hadn't got off to that great start, yeah, but they're winning games even right now with Kawhi on the bench. When he does come back, that's just going to help them be better. Hate to say, San Antonio's not done yet. Like Jason Voorhees, they just keep coming back again and again and again. So let's give you our picks for a few awards. Rookie of the Year. Who's going to be Rookie of the Year? I can tell you it won't be. It's not going to be top draft pick Sixers guard Markelle Fultz. He can't even shoot the ball right now. He's banged up. It's not going to be him. But it might still be a guy from Philadelphia. Because I'm going with Ben Simmons. Yes, it's unfair because he's not truly a rookie. He was on the roster last year, but he didn't play. Ben Simmons is still considered a rookie in the NBA. And I think he's going to win Rookie of the Year this year. Playing very, very well. Still can't shoot it, but man, he can attack the basket and he can really hurt you in transition. Coach of the Year. I know it's easy to say right now. I know it is, but I will go with Boston Celtics coach Brad Stevens. You know, he's really good at designing sets that exploit your weaknesses. And having a player like Kyrie Irving, it allows him to do that even more. Kyrie, very, very talented player. I think that's going to be a good fit with Brad Stevens. I will go with Stevens for my Coach of the Year. So who is my MVP this year? Hey, Russell Westbrook won it last year. It was very, very close. It won't surprise me to see Kyrie Irving go crazy and win it all because, like I said, you know he's got a chip on his shoulder. But I'm actually going to go with Houston Rockets guard James Harden. The addition of Chris Paul, when it first happened, everyone said the same thing. Well, who's going to take the shot and what are they going to do? What the addition of Chris Paul does, it takes a lot of weight off of him having to create with the basketball. He can come off screens, get the ball in a scoring spot, delivered to him by Chris Paul. Doesn't have to work nearly as hard for some of the shots that he was having to work for last year. So MVP, I'll go with James Harden. Who is going to be in the NBA Finals this year? Hey, Golden State, I'm putting Golden State in there. Other side in the East, I struggle with this because LeBron is good enough to carry the Cleveland Cavaliers. I don't like the makeup of that team, though. It's got to be Cleveland, though, doesn't it? LeBron's better than everyone else. He'll carry that team. Oh, man, but I struggle. I don't like how they play defense. You know what? I'm going Golden State Warriors, and I'm going Boston Celtics. Warriors win it in five. Hey, good news, though, for Boston. They could be even better next year when they get everybody back and everybody on the same page and guys growing up and getting more experience. I am going to go Golden State over Boston five games in the NBA Finals. Yes, that might be 6 or 7 months away, but I'm calling it right now. Hey, our Daily Dose Top 5 is coming up next. You know you have to stick around for that. You know, Dallas Cowboys running back Ezekiel Elliott, he missed the Cowboys game on Sunday while serving a suspension from the NFL for violating their personal conduct policy. I wonder how he's going to be spending his time off while he's out. I have to think about that one. Just a quick reminder, make sure that you head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose to do any shopping that you might need to do. Don't forget that holiday season is coming quickly. But Loot Crate offers a monthly mystery crate of pop culture items filled with merchandise from your favorite TV shows, movies, and video games. It's worth over $45 a crate, and it's less than $20 a month. You can sign up for a single crate, a subscription of crates that'll arrive in your mailbox every month, or you can just go order individual items. Make sure that when you check out, you put Daily Dose in the coupon box. DALYDOSE. We will get you 10% off of your order. November's Loot Crate theme, it's called Unite 2.0. It features items from Overwatch, Voltron, Power Rangers, and DC Comics. I know we talked about it earlier, but if you would like to recommend the podcast, we would appreciate that. Please let your friends, family, and coworkers know. They can subscribe to the podcast wherever podcasts are hosted. iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Podcast Republic, Audio Boom. You can also now find the podcast over on Spreaker.com. You know, Spreaker is actually compatible with Amazon's Alexa personal assistant. So, you know, you could just say, Alexa, play the Daily Dose Sports Podcast. Or Alexa, subscribe to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast. Or Alexa, download every episode of the Daily Dose Sports Podcast. You know, they've got every episode over there. So does blogtalkradio.com. If you'd like to share the show, just click that share button wherever you listen. You can send your friend, family, or coworker a direct link to the show. And if they're technically challenged, you'll make it a little bit easier. Also, make sure you stop by our podcast network page, rogueintel.com. The Daily Dose is a proud member of the Rogue Intel Podcast Network, and they have a number of other podcasts over there about a wide variety of subjects that you're going to like. So make sure that you stop by and check out a few of the other podcasts over at rogueintel.com. Now, as we do every single week, we have got to get to our Daily Dose Top 5. You know, Dallas Cowboys running back Ezekiel Elliott, he began serving his 6-game suspension on Sunday. Now, who knows how many games he's actually going to serve? Because the decision could be appealed again on December 1st. You know, he was originally suspended prior to the season for some alleged domestic violence against a former girlfriend. But Elliott has appealed it multiple times, and the suspension has been flipped more than like a stripper at a Louisville basketball party. So we know that Zeke is going to be serving at least 4 games, but we don't know if he's going to serve all 6. We'll see after that. But here's the question that I have on our Daily Dose Top 5 today. What is he going to be spending his time doing over the next month while he's out of football? Our Daily Dose Top 5 today, things Dallas Cowboys running back Ezekiel Elliott will spend his time on suspension doing. That's our Top 5 today. Number 5. You've probably heard the reports coming out. Ezekiel Elliott has plans to leave the country, has plans to clear his head, has plans to get away from it all. We here at the Daily Dose have it on very good authority. He plans to do just that. In fact, they say Ezekiel Elliott is planning to go home. That's right. Ezekiel Elliott will be visiting the forest moon of Endor. Does kind of look like an Ewok, right? Like, I'm not the only one that thinks that. Like, you look at it, it's a little bit Ewok about that guy. That's number 5 on our list. Number 4 on our list. Ezekiel Elliott, he's going to finally get around to sending out those bar mitzvah gift thank you letters. Now, this take a long time. Nothing worse than when your parents were like, hey, you got to make sure you send out thank you cards for all that stuff. You got to make sure you call everyone that gave you a gift. Is Zeke Jewish? I don't know if he's Jewish. Not sure I realized that Elliott, I don't know. I don't know if he's Jewish or not. But number 4, he's going to be sending out those thank you cards for those bar mitzvah gifts he got back when he was just a boy. Number three on our list of things that Ezekiel Elliott is going to spend his time on suspension doing. You know, he has stated that he plans to open a lemonade stand outside of NFL commissioner Roger Goodell's house while he's off. But here's the thing, Roger. That's not lemonade. Don't you drink it. Don't fall for that one. Not again. Tom Brady got you with that one once. Don't fall for it again, Roger. It's number three. Number two. Ezekiel Elliott wants to see about maybe getting into Hollywood after football. I mean, have you heard some of the things going on in Hollywood? Harvey Weinstein, Steven Seagal, Bill Cosby, Louis C.K. That place sounds awesome for Ezekiel Elliott. That is number two on our list. He is going to go out to the West Coast and see if he can get himself into the movie business. That's number two. Number one on our list, top five things Ezekiel Elliott will be spending his time doing while he is out on suspension. I think this one's pretty easy. He's going to hit up that ex-girlfriend, son. She might be crazy, but man, is she hot. Hey, next week on the show, you know, it's already Thanksgiving week. We have so much here at the Daily Dose to be thankful for. Plus, we will have the latest and greatest in sports news. Speaking of being thankful, I have to say thank you to each one of you for listening to the show. We are so glad to have you join us each week. Thank you for recommending the show to your friends. We do appreciate it. Do not forget, we talked about it earlier, December 4th. We will be bringing you a new show every single weekday. Hey, we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear what you think about the changes that we are making here at The Daily Dose. Feel free to contact us with what's on your mind. Email us at dailydosesports@gmail.com or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. We would love to hear what you have to say. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next week.